Tuesday night edition of the Double L Show. And everybody's starting to fall into the chat room, so make yourselves comfortable. Like everybody waited to the last minute, huh, Chris?
Apparently.
Start to file in. Hope we're not having any technical difficulties tonight. But Chris shared the link over on Facebook, so I guess they wouldn't be hearing me if they were having trouble. So. Anyway.
Yeah, while there's nobody or a lot of my local peeps, can I do my blatant advertisement now?
You go ahead and advertise away.
Okay. Some of you may or may not know, Amara is our trusty Girl Scout. Well, this weekend is the last Girl Scout cookie booth. I believe that's on the national level that this is it. So if anybody on the local level here in Virginia Beach is interested, our last booth is from 11:15 to 1:30 a.m. on Saturday. Again, that's from 11:15 to 1:30. Ooh, I am so sorry. I stand corrected. We're our troop is actually there from 9 a.m. to 1:30. However, if you prefer to see Amara and I, we will be there from 11:15 to 1:30. That is at the Food Lion on Princess Anne Road. That's Food Lion on Princess Anne Road. I believe there's a Pizza Hut still there. We're right behind there. So come get your cookies, or if you want any cookies, please let me know. I'd be happy to pick them up, bring them to the TKA meeting that evening. Again, this is the last Girl Scout cookie booth sale weekend, period. So, yes, it is at Princess Anne and Parliament. Thank you, Don. Okay, that's all
later.
I got. Carry on, honey.
Well, we got to make a trip down to Jacksonville, Florida to deliver Melitos so we can fish and give her some pendants.
Hey, if the price is right, I'll send her some.
Very cool. Yep, last weekend for cookies. We've done pretty good at this house, haven't we? I think we've only had $1. That was fine.
Oh, don't tell me you're losing your voice.
No, I hope not. It's been on again, off again all day. Yeah. All right, well, we'll get going here because our guest is going to be calling in. He's on the road, so when he calls, we got to give him the time that he can allow to us because he's traveling. As most of you in the industry have been around for a while, know wintertime is the road time for reps and companies to be out there spreading the word. So Randy's taking his time out of his traveling schedule to speak with us tonight about paddles, not just Warner Pacific, but paddles in general. So if you have any questions or anything, go ahead and get them together. We'll be able to ask Danny once he calls in. And you can call in, too, and talk to him directly if you'd like at 714-816-4727. So while we're waiting for Danny to call, we'll cover some other things we got going on. This Saturday night, for all of you local people, don't forget the Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association meeting will be held at Appomattox River Company Saturday night at 5 o'clock. And we're going to also have a meatball tasting.
That's right. Meatball.
So bring your best meatball. Whether that's and they're going to have a judging, and there's some cool prizes going to be given away for the best meatball. And yours truly is going to be doing a seminar there on Kayak Fishing 101. But we're going to play that by ear, too, just to see how many seasoned or people that have already been in the boats have been out there or how many new people we have. So we'll kind of play that seminar by ear, but it should be a good time. So Saturday night, 5 o'clock, 1700 at the Appomattox River Company in Hampton location. What else we got going on? We had a good weekend last weekend. We went to the POL meeting on Saturday night. So if you guys missed that, you missed another fun time. Good eats again and storytelling and whatnot. So thanks to everybody over at Pirates of Winning for having us. And we enjoy going over there. What else have we been up to, Chris? Weather, Mother Nature is playing sick tricks once again around here. I think it almost reached 70 today, 40-something yesterday. We got cold and rained out of Busch Gardens on Sunday, but Saturday was beautiful, so hopefully the trend will be starting to be a little more consistent on the warmer side of things. We can get back into fishing. Speaking of fishing, I was killing some time the other day and happened to be wandering around West Marine and talking to some people in there, and they're already starting to get some reports of flounder on the eastern shore. I think if everybody remembers last week, I was saying how usually that's one of our first species to start coming back is the flounder, and the flounder over on the eastern shore usually where you see them to start with. So that's a good sign. It means the fish know when to start coming back in most times, so they're heading back in. I haven't heard anything from the nets yet, but the other thing we start to see is the croaker being caught in the nets. It doesn't happen on hook and line for a little while. They start swimming back in when, unfortunately, the nets grab them out there along with everything else. But that's for a different show and a different topic. But good things, though, if we hear that the flounder are coming back in. So, Eastern Shore. So keep your eyes and ears peeled. Keep reading the forums, see what's going on. And, of course, if you're really itching to fish around here, there's always the river still has trout and red drum in there. So you can head over to the Elizabeth. I know a few people that have made trips over to the eastern shore, over to the ships looking for some fish and haven't been able to find any. And even out to the bridge. Dog probably won't be long. Dog should be biting. Could be biting. Just got to get a constant weather pattern around here, but you should be able to go out there and find those pretty soon. We just got to get rid of winter. About over it anyway. So what else we got going on today? I don't know what else. I got a fishing report here. Oh, that's what I got. Go ahead and see what Mr. Rucker down in North Carolina has to say. All right. Well, good short one, he says, here tonight. Keeping it short. Yeah, you got an event. The Carolina Yakfish Tournament Series kicks off this Saturday at Sharon Harris Lake. This is a four-part series benefiting HAL and is sponsored by Native Watercraft. The Angler of the Year will be awarded a Slayer 14. Entry fee is $30. And for details, see CarolinaYakfish.com. Yeah, and that's what he's got for us this week. So thank you, Philip, and the gang over at Get Outdoors. And you might want to get in on that if you're fishing in that part of the country, freshwater for the Carolina Yakfish Tournament Series. It's pretty cool there. $30 entry fee. Money benefits out. And you get a chance to win a Slayer 14. Very cool. Thank you for that. So, what is going on in the chat room, Chris? I'm trying to keep my eyes out there.
Kevin just said water 45-46 still.
Is it?
Yeah. I guess TK is having a one-day tournament in Rudy on Sunday. It's a $5 entry plus a bag of plastic. However, I initially was drooling and getting all excited. Then I checked the weather forecast. I was like, wah, never mind. I'll pass on that one.
So that's Saturday. What time at Rudy?
No, that would be Sunday.
Sunday.
From 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Again, it's a $5 entry and a bag of plastic. All the plastics are going to HAL, and the $5 is a 50-50.
All right. I was reading the chat room now myself. Don Paredes had seen some schoolies in the bay close to the Thimble Shoals channel. How do you see them when you're going over them at like 40 miles an hour, Don?
They go faster than 40 miles an hour. Come on.
I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. Somebody else wrote up here. Oh, involving current. April 1st starts POL, POL Angler of the Year tournament. There you go. You can go over to the Pirates of Lynn Haven and check out your Angler of the Year tournament. See what's going on with them. What's the first fish there, Boogie? If you're going to chime in, let us know what's going on. Don says he slows down for traffic.
Well, schoolies are hardly traffic. Those are barely some road bumps. Jeez.
Running across the bay. He's not answering me now.
I don't think he got the question.
Oh. What was the fish for the first fish for the Angler of the Year tournament was the question I had asked. Well, anybody's been living under a rock, too. I just thought about this one while we're waiting for Danny to call in. If anybody hasn't noticed this past weekend, a big change in the old kayak fishing industry about Jen Salmon leaving Ocean Kayak to go to Jackson. So I guess congratulations, Jim. Good luck with your new team and your new endeavors. That was a pretty big shocker for everybody. I'm sure the people inside kind of knew what was going on, but that was a pretty big surprise to see Jim going over to Jackson. Oh, he says here, 10 points for each species caught per month. All right, well, you can go to Pirates of Lynn Haven's website and check it out. You have to be a member of Pirates of Lynn Haven first off, so there you go. Yeah, I thought it was a different species.
Species, and I misspelled it. Oops.
Spices. What are you talking about? You're thinking about cooking those meatballs already, aren't you?
I've been plotting. People have been asking. I've been getting input from my best women cooking buddies. These are going to be the bomb, I tell you, the bomb. Everybody else might as well just leave y'all's meatballs at home.
Uh-oh. Now you're talking.
That's right.
Talking for snack. Tofu meatballs.
No, something will have bled and died for my meatballs. That is so disgusting. I'm not even going to dignify. Boogie, is there a different species each month or than any fish caught? Wow, me and Britt are making a different bet each night to perfect them.
This goes hand in hand with the other things I talk about on Facebook. You know it's wintertime. You know it's cold. You know the fishing around here hasn't been that good because you see, I'm not going to call anybody out, different posts going on Facebook. Now the fact that people are spending this much time getting caught up in a meatball tasting contest, but that's where they're putting their energy because there's just no fishing. The winter really has to get out of here, so now we can get
food and yoga. We're sick of it. Not that there's anything wrong with yoga. Lord knows I love me some yoga, but geez, getting old
I'm
now.
I'm ready to see some big fish hanging on somebody's line or on the lap in the kayak or something, because they're definitely getting cabin fever around here.
I didn't even say any names on the yoga.
No, you didn't. Kind of easy to figure out, but good job not saying any names.
Okay, nobody seems to think it's funny. I'm going to push a button because I can. Ooh, where's that button that Melita likes so much? Here we go, for Melita. Maybe. Coming. Perhaps. Push again. I pushed the button. It's not doing anything.
Push it harder. We got to sidetrack now because now we're talking about yoga in the chat room even. Sweet music tonight. Hey, look, he's here, Sean. What's going on, Texas?
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
We were teased the other day, and I'm hoping any day now, because we keep being told any day now, we will have a location for the next Boondoggle event. That's going to be October 11th through the 14th.
Yet Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio
are working on the details. They guess they just haven't finalized a couple of things, so they don't want to make it public knowledge until it definitely is through the loops and chain of command there that they got to do. But it sounds like it's pretty much a done deal, so as soon as we know, you guys will be the next ones to know.
I believe Chip is making that announcement on Thursday.
Is he? Okay. So I had somebody ask the other day, sent me a message and asked if I knew where it was going to be yet. Had no idea. So tune in Thursday night to the Chip Gibson Tree Hugger Show. Hopefully he'll have some information for us. Chip's not here tonight, is he?
No, I don't think so. And I believe our guest has dialed in. Honey, I'm going to go in the bubble.
Okay. Bubble away.
I'm trying.
Can you hear me now? All right, now's when I'm going to give everybody Chris's meatball recipe. No, I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, so as I was saying, hopefully Thursday night Chip will have the details for everyone to release the next location for the Columbus Day boondoggle coming up. I don't know what she's doing over there, if we've got our guest yet. Hopefully Danny will be calling in soon, and I won't keep babbling here and wasting everybody's time. But we're going to be talking about paddles, obviously, because Danny from Werner Paddles is going to be calling in. And like I said at the top of the show, it doesn't have to be Werner specific questions, just paddling in general. Danny's got a lot of time and been with Werner for a long period of time, so he'll be able to answer. And Chris has given me the sign that Danny's here, so we'll go ahead and get right to it. Is he open? Are you ready? Danny, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How you doing tonight?
Good, doing really good, man. Finally, the weather started to turn around. It's a beautiful evening here in North Carolina.
Okay, very cool. I was going to ask you where you're at. So you're in Carolina. I said you're going to be doing a lot of traveling, so I don't want to make a long ado of this. So we'll thank you for getting to us tonight and giving up your Tuesday evening to spend here with us.
Well, so it looks like quick, it's really a...
Go ahead.
No, it's a good lead-in for me. I'm headed up to the Jersey Paddler on the Jersey coast, and they put on a big show. And they do that every year for 3 days in March, and there really is a big kayak angling element to that show. So it would be good for me to chat here with you guys and get up there and start talking to some mid-Atlantic fishermen.
Very cool. So that's this weekend coming up, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so I didn't have a chance to introduce you just because we were waiting on your call. So now that we've got you live, we'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself. So how about just telling everybody a little bit about Danny and your role at Werner Paddles and what's going on with you these days. There goes the voice.
So I've been with Werner Paddles now for over 10 years. I have a really awesome job within the company. Essentially, the meat and potatoes is what we call field marketing. So my job is to get out and work with end users, work with stand-up paddlers, whitewater boaters, sea kayakers, and more so kayak anglers to tell them about our company, find out what they'd like to see from us, and primarily get on the water and do some instruction. My dad raised me as a fisherman, so I like the idea of fishing from a kayak. I do spend more time paddling my sea kayak. So hopefully the goal would be to get out there and help people who are coming into the sport better understand how the paddling element works, so therefore we can get out there and catch some more fish.
Very cool. So you do some fishing too then, I guess, right?
I do, I think part of the job is we try to do as much as we can in each element of paddle sports, but part of my job is also the team manager. So we go out and look for... we're not looking for the guy who's won the most tournaments. We're not looking for the guy who's touting he's caught the biggest fish. But our goal is to find good people in the community who want to spread the word about the sport of kayak angling and let people know why they enjoy their Werner paddle. And we got some great people on the team, some people who got to their own fishing shows and a really great local crew, Rob Choi, a great young man, Drew Camp, Richie Beckelet, Corey Roof. So we're really trying to grow around the country now. The Southeast has always been really strong for us. So hopefully those guys are filling me in where I'm not as much of an expert as I am in other elements of paddling.
Drew Camp is in the chat room.
Drew's in the chat room, she said.
Oh, wow.
His soccer got canceled.
He did say he had a soccer game. I'm really happy he was able to make it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks, Chip. Thanks, Drew. So tell us a little bit about Werner and, like, where are you with Werner? How long? You said you've been with him for 10 years now, so obviously you got a good thing going there. You're really happy, so tell us about it.
You know, when people ask me about Werner, what really gets me excited is where it all started for us. It's never been about a business. The namesake of the company, Werner Sr., and his wife, Martha, came over from Switzerland to start a new life in, actually, they landed first in Canada, and then migrated down to the Adirondacks, and they were very passionate climbers. They loved the outdoors. As their family grew, they have four children. Bruce, who's the youngest boy, is now our president. They realized they couldn't drag the family up the side of Mount Baker or Mount Adams. They later migrated to the Pacific Northwest. So they chose camping and this new sport of kayaking to get their family out of the water. They were in a very wealthy family, and Werner, being an engineer by trade, knew that he could take his expertise of how water worked and make a better paddling paddle. And the goal really was to allow his family to have a better time in the outdoors. So now when I look at my team of fishing people and then I ask them to go and talk to people in their club or people they see on the water and say, well, why should I look at a Werner paddle? You know, I think the goal is, well, this, just like Werner did over 40 years ago, is going to enable you to have a better time on the water. And although we've grown into a very successful business, for me, it always goes back to that core, those roots of taking care of the people who want to enjoy their time on the water more. And I'm really proud to take it into the next generation and call myself part of the family. So it's really good stuff.
Yeah, really. I mean, even in the 10 years that you say you've been with, I'm sure you've seen that change and so much go on with the industry. So you can only imagine since Werner started the company, how much, you know, paddling and paddles and the kayaks themselves even have changed. Jeez, and it's the 8-10 years now of fishing kayaking really being what it is, how much the kayaks themselves have changed. So I'm sure it's the same for you guys over there with Werner and the paddles and the sport. I mean, it's changed a lot. A lot of big things have come out of it, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great changes. And, you know, if there's one thing that I could, you know, maybe a takeaway from, you know, I'm so glad you asked me to come and do this tonight. And, you know, if there's one thing everybody can take away from this is you can go and fish from your kayak. You don't have to be a kayak angler. You don't have to own the best gear. I think if what I've seen over the past 10 years is a lot of us get caught up in, you know, what is the best way to go whitewater boating or what it takes to be a stand-up paddle or even more so now with kayak angling. You know, if I'm not doing it this way, I'm not doing it right. And by God, as long as you're out there having fun, hanging out with your buddies and your family and hopefully maybe catching a fish at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. You know, get out there and have a good time.
That's a perk, right? The fish catching part. Nobody guarantees that.
Yeah, you know, it really could be called kayak casting. And, yeah, you're right. The fish part's really the bonus.
Yeah, anybody that's listening tonight says that's what they've never done. They're liars, right? Yeah, very cool. So let's talk about paddles, because that's kind of the thing I really wanted to hear, because I know everybody, you know, you go in a store and you can be overwhelmed, just like you can be with kayaks. You walk into a shop and there's this umpteen different types of paddles and different styles hanging up on the wall. So kind of help everybody here, our listeners, you know, what makes a good fishing paddle? You know, if they're going to go out there and upgrade or they're buying their first paddle or whatever the case may be, trying to get a different. So if you could give us some pointers and things on what makes a good paddle, especially for the anglers.
Perfect. you know, one, the first thing I'm going to ask everybody to understand is that what makes the best kayak fishing paddle is a good paddle. You know, at the end of the day, we need to understand that, you know, when we're catching the fish, then you're the angle that you grew up as. But when we get from spot to spot and we're chasing those birds and we're chasing the school of bait fish or just moving our location, then we're kayakers, then we're paddlers. So what makes the best paddle is one that's going to enable you to use as little amount of energy as possible. So if you can afford to go with a stiffer blade, if you can afford to go with a lighter weight paddle, it's going to allow you to use less energy. So, you know, don't get caught up in, you know, what the best fishing paddle is. Get out there on the water and try stuff out. You know, the same way that you want to feel the motion of a reel and feel the mechanics that are in there, the same way you want to feel a rod in your hand, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money on a paddle, whether it is 150 or 450. Ask your local dealer, hey, can I go out and paddle this before I actually buy it? From there, I think the biggest misconception that I see in the world of angling, and hopefully my job is going to be to help educate more, and that's what we're asking our team anglers to do, is it's not about a bigger blade. A bigger blade is not going to make you move faster. What's going to make you move faster is better technique. So the same way you're going to be able to cast longer all day long if you can use better technique, you're going to paddle longer all day if you can use bigger core muscles. Maybe after you're done with the show tonight, we have a short segment on Werner TV. If you go to WernerPaddles.com, log on to Werner TV. You don't have to buy anything. It doesn't cost anything to sign up. Short, free, five-minute video on how to take a forward stroke. So,
and they can get that off the Werner Paddles site?
Yes, sir, yeah, WernerPaddles.com.
I'll put the link up. Okay, I'm putting a link up in the chat room for anybody listening on podcast or on the apps, and you got the WernerPaddle.com. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just want to make sure I'm covering everybody here.
Oh. So from there, you know, I think that's where that debate comes down. Do I want the big, fat blade, or do I want that long, skinny blade? And, you know, I joke, you know, going up to the Jersey Paddle Show this coming weekend, I grew up on Long Island myself, and, you know, it's that, well, what am I going to do with that little blade? You know, well, it's not going to make me go anywhere. I need a bigger blade. And it's a mindset that I think a lot of us guys have. Well, the bigger the blade, the faster we're going to go. So, you know, the reason for that long, skinny blade is it allows you to keep your hands in a lower position. So if you're not focused on good technique, you're not using those bigger core muscles, because you're more focused on fishing, those skinnier blades are going to allow you to spend more time on the water. So before you make that paddle purchase, I would really spend some time getting a little bit of education on your technique and really understand the difference between what they're going to call high angle paddling, which is that short fat blade, and that long skinny blade, which is what they'll call low angle paddling. Again, you can check out that WernerPaddles.com. You'll see that in these segments I'm telling you. I'm really proud to be a guest here tonight. My job is not to put on a Werner sales pitch, it's to give you an education on how to better select a paddle. But you'll see there's a short video on that Werner TV that's called Low Angle versus High Angle Paddling. So, you know, take a look at some of that stuff and then ask the local fisherman in the club, hey, what are you using? You know, what's working best for you? And get their advice, but then I'm always going to go back and tell you, grab a paddle, pick it up in your hands, and see what works best for you. We're all slightly different.
Hey, now, what about... So you did cover the blade. What about the shaft deal? Like, you know, straight shaft and bend shaft. I prefer the bend shaft myself. You get a lot of questions. A lot of people are like, why do you have a bend shaft? Like, what was that shit? You know, why is it bent? What's the difference? Was it better or worse? Is that a personal preference a lot of times?
That's a great question. And you know, so once we've deciphered what blade shape works best for us, that long and skinny or the short and fat, from there, we get into our fit options. And the biggest question that I get asked about fit options is bent shaft going to make me a better paddler? Am I going to be faster? And there are a lot of companies out there that are more dedicated to selling than they are to educating. And they're going to tell you, yeah, bent shaft's going to make you go faster. It's going to you know, take pressure off of your body. It's going to make your elbows feel better. I'm going to be honest with everybody on the show tonight. If you don't have aches and pains in your hands, you don't have onset of arthritis or some carpal tunnel, don't waste the money on BenchApp. The only thing BenchApp is going to do is assure you that your wrist is always in a natural ergonomic position. So although I'm telling you don't go buy it if you don't need it, maybe like Mark, I am a BenchApp user because my wrists are really banged up from long years of paddling with poor technique. I do have early onset arthritis. So for me, man, BenchApp allows me to know without a doubt, no matter how tight I'm holding on to that paddle, my wrist is always in a good, natural, aligned position. So, for you younger paddlers out there looking to put together your first package, your first boat, your rod, your depth finder, and now I got to buy a paddle, man, just hold on to that paddle more loosely. Think of holding on with just the forefinger and the thumb. A nice, loose grip is all you need. And again, you know, we have this educational piece on our website to help people understand this is how you should be holding on to your paddle. So, you know, for you, Mark, if you ask me, well, you know, should I be using BenchApp? I'm going to ask you that same question. I'm going to say, hey, dude, how do your hands feel? How do your wrists feel? And if there's any aches and pains, spend that extra money. You know, it's money you're spending one time. If you do this right, it's the last paddle you're ever going to buy. So for me, I can't paddle without it.
All right, yeah, and that's exactly why I do. Between a few years in the Marine Corps, football, and construction job, my shoulders, wrists, yeah, it does make a big difference because I have gone back to a straight shaft paddle, and I can tell right off the bat, so I'm much more comfortable using it. So
mine's straight.
That's,
my paddle is straight.
That's right. But you don't have
any. And that's what I'll always say, you know, again, as long as you're holding on to that paddle loosely and you're not over-gripping it, good for you. Straight shaft is less expensive. Straight shaft is lighter weight. And it's also familiar. We've all used it before. So if you're coming out of that 21-foot bass boat and you're making the transition to becoming a kayak angler, man, it's a lot of new stuff to learn. You know, you're learning how to be a paddler. So, man, picking up a straight shaft, that's pretty simple. We don't have to worry about how to use that thing. So I'll always say there's a lot of benefits to straight shaft as well.
Can you give us real quick, I know you got time here, but can you give us real quick on selection when it comes to size between the height of the angler? I know everybody's like, you know, just the 230 to 220, all that gets confusing in the beginning for people anyway. So can you give us real quick, like, you select with the width of the boat, the height of the angler? I know we have a lot of those variables that go in.
I'm going to make it really simple for everybody out there. So if you're a note taker, you're going to take, for low angle paddling, a more relaxed style, which, unless you come over here and argue with me, I'm going to guarantee probably 85% of everyone listening that low angle style makes more sense. It puts less pressure on your shoulders. Your hands are in a lower position. So keep those hands down lower. Use that longer, skinnier blade. For that style of paddling, if you're 6 foot or under, you're going to start with a 220-centimeter paddle. And if you're 6'1 or over, you're going to start with a 230-centimeter paddle. And then this is pretty much a constant. You know, I'm not talking to a general crowd here. This is I've been asked to be on a kayak angling show, so I can guarantee you that everybody that's listening is in a boat, a kayak, that is over 28 inches wide. So once that boat gets to be 28 inches or wider, I want you to add 10 centimeters to your length. So an example, I'm 5'8", so I would immediately start with a 220 because I'm under 6 foot. And now I walk into my local kayak shop and I'm looking at a kayak fishing boat, I'll go ahead and bump up to a 230. And what I'm going to tell everybody who's listening is base that as the law. And that is the gospel you should be working off of as a starter. Now, we're always going to have to say personal preference comes into a decision. And if you feel like you're more comfortable with a 240, well, so be it. No one's telling you that you're wrong. It goes back to what I said in the beginning of this, as long as you're having fun. Now, why is a paddle that's too long a bad thing? Like, why shouldn't we all just grab 260s? Well, think about it. A sweep stroke When the blade of that paddle travels further away from the side of your boat, that's going to make your boat turn. So if your paddle is too long, essentially every stroke you're taking is turning into a mini sweep stroke, which means instead of traveling in a straight line from point A to point B, all of a sudden now you find yourself wandering back and forth. And not only is that frustrating, but it's a real waste of time. So, Mark, I'm happy for you to post that on your blog, or feel free to give folks my email address. I'd love to send them those stats again. But really, like I said, base it on your height first, and then from there, go ahead and base it on the width of your boat, which for most of us is a constant. It's going to be over 28 inches.
Right, and there's a chart on Warner Paddles on the site, actually, too, so you can go with the chart there, too.
And I want to be open with everybody. Again, I promise that I'm not here to pitch my company. You know, so if you go to our site or Bending Branch's site, or Aquabound or AT, you're going to find that, man, they're all pretty damn close, if not identical. Werner's been the leader for over 40 years in paddles. So, you know, people kind of peek at what we're saying, and then we go and peek at what they're saying to make sure that everybody's about the same. And why is that? Well, because we went and did this test. Like, we didn't just sit in the lab and come up with these numbers. I mean, if you're building a good paddle, whether it be any of those companies I just mentioned, you're putting people in the field that are doing these tests. So the numbers that I gave you are going to be similar to what you're going to hear from other companies, and they're pretty much spot-on accurate.
Very cool, and I'll put the link up again in the chat room so everybody can get it. And for those listening live, because we have people on the apps tonight and podcast later on, just wonderpaddles.com, pretty simple. Like you said, you can go there and watch the video and also look at these charts we're talking about now. And you were just talking about the paddles, and earlier I heard you mention expensive and whatnot, and I totally agree. I say that with every product, really. Right down, I work in a tackle shop, and you know, it comes down to rods and reels, same thing, too. You spend the money once, cry once on good product, it'll last you a long time. You go out and buy cheap over and over again because it doesn't perform right or keeps breaking on you or whatever the case may be. You probably already bought that expensive paddle once and you're done for the rest of your life. So kind of help us, you know, why is it to be, you know, everybody thinks they're expensive, the expense of a paddle, why they're so expensive. But if you would, kind of, why is it so expensive?
Well, one way I always look at it, and again, I'm the first one to say that I'm not an angling expert, but, you know, my dad did raise me as an offshore fishing captain, so I've been around it. And, you know, for your average angler who's going to make it out a couple of times a month, you know, man, hey, Shakespeare makes a great product. You know, but if you're that professional angler and you're out there and you're buying and looking to put your customers onto fish, you're going to go out and spend high dollars on high-end rods and reels and high-end depth recorders. So it's the same thing with paddle. You know, if you're somebody who, hey, listen, I got a kid in college and I got another one coming up and truck payments and I really don't get to use this stuff all that much, man, you know, you can get a really nice paddle these days for $150. You know, you're going to get nice carbon or fiberglass shaft. But if you want to work at that high end, you want to be as, you know, as less fatigued as you can be at the end of the day, the better materials are going to make a difference. So what I want you to do when you walk into that shop and you're about to spend your hard-earned money, you're going to do two things for me. One, don't look at the hang tag. You know, just like if you walk into the bicycle shop or any other high-end shop, don't believe what the weights say on the hang tag. You know, there's what's actual, and then there's what marketing says, and everybody's is guilty of that. So grab hold of that paddle in the center. Put your hand right in the middle of the paddle. Grab onto that and move that weight back and forth. Physically feel how much energy it takes to start and stop that motion. And what you're asking for there is, what's your swing weight? How much energy does it take for me to go paddling all day long? And pick up the $100 one and pick up the $400 one and feel that difference. And then from there, what I want you to do is grab hold of the blade with both hands. And I want you to physically flex that blade. Try to bend it in half. And I promise you, don't worry, you're not going to break them unless you're a really big guy. But they're all built well. I mean, we're not talking about the quality of the product. We're talking about the material that they're using. And those $100 to $200 paddles, you're going to feel a lot more flex or a lot more give in that blade, which means every time you take a stroke, man, that blade is going to lose a lot of energy. So now try to do that same thing with the stiffer blade. Take that $300 paddle and try to flex that blade, and you're going to find that there's no motion there. So now every bit of energy you put into the water is moving you forward. And it's funny because I do look at some recreational fishermen or mid-range fishermen, and they're like, whoa, Danny, you're losing me here, dude. Like, I'm not looking to go racing. I don't want to go paddle 30 miles. I just want to go out and catch a bass. And my point to them is, you know what, for you, for that angler who doesn't have all the paddling skills that the quote-unquote experts do, man, it's more important for you than it is for me. You want to get every advantage you can get. So that lighter weight, that stiffer blade is going to allow you to puddle along the water, maybe without the best paddling skills, and not be as tired come Monday morning.
What about the makeup of the paddle? And that makes totally good sense. And I know you can't see, you're not logged in the chat room. And you got people asking some questions. But what is the makeup of the paddles? Like, just explain real quick, like the, I know you got the fiberglass, we have your plastic blades, you have your carbon. Like, so what's the turnover ratio? Like, what makes the better of the end of the paddles? I guess everybody starts out. I know even at Warner, you guys have the, you know, low end and then moving on up the line,
yep,
through the materials.
Well, you know, to just jump into the sport, you know, I'm at the kayak shop and I'm looking, hey, listen, if I spend more than $800, I'm going to be sleeping in the doghouse here. I need a budget package. So let's use the Bending Branches Whisper. Great paddle for $89. But what is the downfall going to be there? Well, now you're using an aluminum shaft, which we know adds a lot of weight. Plus, on that cool fall morning or spring morning, that aluminum is going to be cold in our hand. And then the blades are going to be a polypropylene, which is a type of plastic, but it's, for $89, they're doing the best they can, so it's going to have a lot of flex to it. From there, you kind of jump up, and now we're in that $100 range, and companies like Bending Branches, Aquabound, and Werner do a fantastic job at about $100. And you can get yourself a fiberglass or a carbon shaft, and now instead of that polypropylene, we're going to a nylon. And nylon has amazing impact resistance, and what it's really great for is it enables companies to shape it into a much better high-performance shape with an injection molding process. So you're starting to get a little techier when you get to that $100 range. The thing I want you to look at is the ferrule system, and that's where the paddle comes apart. You break that paddle down so it's easier to fit in your boat, easier to fit into your car. And the idea there is think about what's simple, right? I mean, you know, use some common sense. The more moving parts that are on that ferrule, the more things that are going to break down the road. So what I want you to do is grab hold of it and be rough with it. Try twisting it. Try running your hand over it. And in the field, is this going to hold up over time? The less moving parts, less things to break, which means, you know what, maybe I could spend $180 on a paddle and not worry because I know it's not going to break after a season. Once we move out of that nylon materials, and you'll see different colors. Some companies will use a yellow or a white or a tan. That nylon is going to be reinforced with fiberglass. So fiberglass is not as stiff of a cloth. Think of it as a denim, for argument's sake. And so when we chop that material up and mix it into the nylon, we need to put more of it in there to get the same strength. So therefore, it's going to be heavier. If you see a black blade, now they're mixing carbon into that nylon. And carbon is stiffer, so you need less of it. So now for $180, which is a great price point if you can get there, is going to be really nice and stiff, and you're going to start to feel lighter swing weight. Your next step from there is going to be fiberglass blades. And the one thing I'm going to caution you guys is if you walk into the kayak shop, the people making fiberglass blades are doing a great job with it. Be wary online. You walk into your local shop and you saw a fiberglass paddle from Werner or Bending Branches about $300, but then you were online and saw one for $180. Odds are it's coming out of an industry that is also making fiberglass boats or fiberglass outhouses, and the quality just isn't there. I'd rather see you buy that nylon blade than a chopper gunned or a chop mat fiberglass. It's not going to have very good strength to weight ratio. And then once we leave that $300 range, now we're jumping all the way up to full carbon, and now you're getting all the bells and whistles, the lightest swing weight you can get. And the biggest question I get here is, am I going to break it, Danny? You know, listen, my primary goal is to catch fish. I don't want to have to worry about where the paddle is. I don't want to have to worry about dropping it and floating away. And I'm going to tell you this, and it's probably the same lesson your father taught you one day, is, hey, man, this is a fine tool. And you're not going to leave a fine tool out in the yard. You're not going to leave it just sitting on the floor of the garage. You're going to take care of it. And it's the same thing with paddles. Companies like Aquabound, Bending Branches, companies like Werner, we've been doing this for a long time. So what does that mean to you? That means, trust me, whatever you're going to do with that thing, we've done it before. So as long as you're not abusive to it, yeah, a big guy, a big angler, again, you know, coming out of a duck boat, moving to a kayak, that paddle's going to hold up for you. And in turn, man, you're going to enjoy your time on the water so much better.
I got to laugh because somebody in the chat room said, did he say $300? That's not even the top of the spectrum yet, right?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. You know, somebody walks into my booth this weekend at that Jersey Paddler show, and they're like, tell me about paddles. I don't know anything about it. Where do we start? You know, I'll be honest. I started about $180. And I think that for the customer who wants a good quality paddle that's going to give them performance, you can get a really nice carbon shaft with a carbon nylon blade. But you're right, Mark. From there, you're quickly looking at $275, $400. And it's the same thing with, you know, let's face it. I mean, this isn't foreign to most of us. We've all put the Hummingbird on the deck and then went ahead and got the better Hummingbird. And then we're looking one step above that to another fish finder. So everything that has quality gets expensive.
Hey, Danny, I have a question for you, and I'm just going to read it for you. With the few manufacturers making adjustable height seats, with that option, length changes with seat height. Buy for longest. Werner plans for an adjustable.
So there's a two-part question there. One, I was pretty specific knowing that that question was going to come up. And if you can use the 6 foot and under rule, 6 foot over, 6 foot under, and then the 28 inches, you're going to get pretty darn close to where you need to be. I'm going to be very honest in this answer. I don't think anybody in the paddle world has put the time and emphasis into doing the research with the raised seats. So what you're getting out there is a lot of, well, this is what I like to use. And, hey, let's face it, you know, I mean, if I tell you what I like to use in the world of stand-up, that answer should carry some water. I would consider myself an expert in that field. So if somebody who's paddling something like a Jackson Coosa or a Native Slayer, and they know, hey, listen, I've used a bunch of paddles and this works best for me, I would take with their advice for what they have to say. Again, I did say that, you know, personal preference comes into play. I can promise you this, that the goal for me for the next month is to get out and paddle all of those boats. And now I'll be able to come back and say with the same certainty that I know I can size a regular sit on top, Werner, and then in suit, the other companies like Branches and Aquabound, we'll get together and we'll say, we've paddled all of these new raised teeth boats, and this is what works for sure. But I think if you're looking like a boat like that, I do think you need to just go out and try some stuff out first.
Right.
And the second part of that question is the adjustable length. And, you know, I think there's probably a place for adjustable length. It's something that we've tested and never liked. Our goal is to be able to look a customer in the eye and say, hey, this paddle's going to last you a lifetime. And we cannot figure out a way to do that and feel like it's going to have the Werner logo on it and we're comfortable with it. It adds a lot of moving parts, and what we've tested didn't work as well as we'd like. So right now we have one length, and we're trying to educate and do our research to give customers the best way to go.
Very good.
That question, that question came from our friend Philip Rucker in North Carolina, who is listening in on the app. And he said, honest, good answer. Thank you.
We got, you know, Brad Stevens, by the way, Danny, from Sunjammers down in Florida.
No, I've never met him face to face, so I can't say for sure. I do. We may have met in passing, and I do apologize if I have. I'm really blessed. The last couple of years, I've really expanded my range and get to spend a lot of time in the field, so I can't say I know everybody for sure.
Right, I understand. No, I was just mentioning he's a kayak shop down in Florida, and he said they've been. He sells, obviously, all different styles of boats, and so the 240s have been doing real well for people with the high-low seat boat. So I just wanted to let you know they've been trying them out down there, too, trying to find that perfect little fit for everyone. So somebody asked me a question earlier about, are you good on time still? Because I don't want to, if you need to get going, don't let us.
I can go for about another 10 minutes. It'll be fine with me. This is great. I'm enjoying myself.
Very good. And unfortunately, you don't see the chat room, but everybody in the chat room is having a lot of good chat going back and forth, and a lot of good vibes coming from the show. So we appreciate it. Somebody asked earlier though, if you could, I guess, just briefly on SUP boards, because you know that's the new big thing now, and people are starting to use them for fishing platforms too, not just for exercise and getting around. So maybe a little bit of helping somebody select the paddle for the SUPs.
Yeah, at this point, and this we have done a lot of research on, and I can be pretty confident, you're going to be looking at a paddle that's going to be 10 inches over your height to get make sure that your top hand isn't too high in the stroke and that you're not stooping over. So if you can shoot for that 10 inches over your height, that's been what we find to work really well, and you'll find the other companies following in suit with us. Again, so I asked you to do that swing weight test, right? So hold that paddle in the center with one hand and move the weight back and forth. Well, now think about it with stand-up. Man, think about how far away that blade is from you. So if you do spend that $100 on a paddle, that blade, like trying to shovel snow with a metal spade, it's going to be awful tiring. So the beautiful thing about stand-up is, man, there's only one blade on those things. So they're not as expensive as kayak paddles. You can get yourself a really beautiful stand-up paddle for $215. So go 10-inch rule. From there, you know, different companies are going to have different shapes. And, again, I suggest just trying some stuff out and seeing what works best for you. As far as adjustable goes, the big question I need to ask you is, do you really need adjustable? Is it really going to be you and the kids and you and the wife, or are you just buying adjustable because it's easy for you? The challenge I see with the adjustable systems out there is they add a lot of moving parts. So even with Werner, if I can get a customer to buy a one-piece over a two-piece, it's always the better way to go. Less expensive, lighter weight, less moving parts. So don't just buy adjustable because it seems like the right thing to do. Really ask yourself, do you really need adjustable?
Very good. And, again, there's a sizing and all that good stuff's available on probably most good paddle sites. They can help you with that on their website.
Yeah, whomever you choose to shop with, you can go ahead and they'll have their size chart on there. And, again, for the sake of sounding arrogant, you know, a lot of companies do look towards Werner as a leader. And so you'll find that once ourselves or a company like Quick Blades, another great stand-up competitor, once we kind of post something, most of the newer companies will get on board. The one thing I'll leave you with stand-up is, you know, I can honestly proudly say that Bending Branches, Aquabound, AT, these are good competitors. You know, I feel like Werner has a great story. I really love our paddles. But I can see somebody paddle by with one of those other brands, and I think, hey, man, you did a good job. You know, I think mine's going to paddle better, but you got a good paddle in your hands. I will be more weary of those conversations with stand-up, and my reasoning for that is you look at the kayak world, and we kind of started gutting it out from the early 80s, and really it grew into an industry that was founded here in America. So a lot of that product is well-built. A lot of the stuff that's coming out in Asia is really very easily sought out over, you know, overseas, and you know, paddles that you're buying, the quality is not that good. So before you plunk down your $200, do a little bit of research and find out who's making the best paddles out there. There's a lot smaller circle of good SUP paddles than there is kayak paddles.
Very good. Acknowledged. Somebody in the chat room spit out that it's not bragging, Werner, if you can back it up. And he said, and you can. So That's it cool. Comes from Brad. Brad again at Sun Jammers down in Florida. So, and we appreciate it. So, well, you said you had to get going, and I believe you. I don't want to take up much more of your time. And actually, we're at the top of the hour. Danny, I just want to say thank you very much. Thank you for giving up your time. You're always welcome on the show. Just call in whenever if you got anything new, great, something going on at Werner or anything out there that you want to share with us. Don't be a stranger. You're a friend of the show. So give us a shout anytime.
Well, that sounds great. What I'll leave you with, Mark, is, you know, I got online now, and I'm looking at a lot of these questions. It's great stuff here. First, I want to thank everybody who had kind things to say about us. I really appreciate that. It's really an honor to work for Werner. But just feel free to contact me through the radio show, and Mark can get me emails, or just go to Werner's website. I'm the only Danny that works for the company, and email me directly. If you didn't get an answer tonight, I'd be happy to work with you one-on-one. And if you're at the Jersey Paddle Show, I see Yak Chum talking about that. Please stop by the booth and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet some of you guys.
Very cool. I was just getting ready to say we've got a few people here that tune into our show that are from that Jersey region, so you'll probably be coming across them this weekend at the show. So hopefully they'll stop by and say hi to you.
Good. I hope so. And I just want to say thanks to Drew for signing in tonight. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, he's in there. Cool. All right. Well, you have a safe trip up to Jersey. Great show. And we thank you again. Like I said, don't be a stranger.
Thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
All right, everyone. Well, I hope you got something from that, especially for choosing your paddles. If you have choices to make, I think Danny definitely covered up a lot of
really
the topics there. We can definitely, if you missed something out of all that, because I know there's a lot of information covered there, you can always go back to the podcast on iTunes and pick up the show again, because Danny definitely put out a lot of good information there. So if you need any help, and we've also put the WernerPaddle.com website up a couple times in the chat room. I'll do it one more time before we leave. Just go on there and watch the video Danny had mentioned and see those sizing charts and all too, just to help you make your selection. Good show. That's cool. What else we got going on, Chris? How's everybody doing in the chat room?
And then one more time, mention that shamelessly our Girl Scout cookie food Saturday, because I feel kind of bad. We have a ton of leftover cookies, and honestly, this has been one of the worst years for Girl Scout cookie sales across the board. So if anybody's interested in Girl Scout cookies, our troop has food on Saturday at Food Line on Francis Ann Road in Parliament from 9 till 2, our girls will be out there. If there's cookies you want, I'd be more than happy to pick them up and bring them to the TKA meeting that evening. So that's all I got. Carry on, honey.
Okay. And that's what I was just going to mention, just for everybody locally not to forget the TKA meeting this Saturday at ARC in Hampton.
Meatball competition. Bring your meatballs.
Bring your meatballs. And your husband. All right. Well, we got a full hour in. What's that?
Go throw in Sunday one more time, the first small one-day TKA tourney.
Sunday morning, Rudy Inlet at 8 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Till 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
$5 entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else.
Plastic,
oh, bag, of plastic.
Bag of plastic that goes to
Heroes on the Water.
Mm-hmm.
I did a good job. All right. Well, there you have it. That's everything we got for this week. I'm not sure as of now. I think next Tuesday we will be airing an old show, maybe even this show again, just in case you missed anything. I am heading back out of the country again, and I don't think Chris is going to do an all-women show unless everybody here asks for real nicely. And you'll have to take care of that between you and Chris. So I'll be out of the country next week, so we'll see what's going on with the show on Tuesday. Like I said, if not, we will rebroadcast a previous show, and with them, like tonight's show might be it, just like I said, in case you missed anything. Anybody who might have missed the show in its entirety can tune in next Tuesday. But
and per
we'll
special,
play that by ear.
I was going to say, per special request, just for Tommy and Melita one more time, if it'll play, maybe. Everything's been moving really slow, and I'm not sure why. I pushed the button, and we're waiting. Waiting. Waiting.
Wow. Somebody's got to get to work on that.
That I mean, it's like, it's 21-second lag at this point. 23, 24, 25. I'm sorry, Melita, I tried. I think we don't even get it out if it doesn't. This is unbelievable. I'm sorry. Wow. I don't know if an out will even play, honey.
All right, well, we can't even get an outro. Danny's still with us? He's hanging up. Danny gone? Danny, you gone? Okay. Yeah, it's really bad, man, because it's still showing people on the phone line.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in, everybody in the chat room for hanging in there, questions, everything. Way to go. You guys rock. Everybody who listened live on the app, don't forget, if you don't already know, everybody listening tonight here in the chat room or on podcast, we have the apps available either on Android or iTunes. Smartphone. And I can barely talk. I'm losing my voice, let alone my tongue. So, thank you, everyone. Hopefully, warm weather is coming our way soon. We can all get out there and fish and quit putting up silly stuff on Facebook. Y'all take care. Good night. Get us out of here, Chris. Or try to get us out of here.
I'm trying. Oh, look, it's playing. Wow.
Next Generation Anglers.
Good night.
No, of course.